Hour number two, all new San Diego Sports 760 with you on a Monday, with you till 3 o'clock, John and Jim. Coming up a little later on today, getting set to talk to Will Brinson. He's the host of the Pick Six podcast. Since last we were on the air on Friday afternoon, signing off just about 3 o'clock, Will Brinson and his colleagues have provided over 3 hours of content wherever it is that you get your podcasts. There's a mock draft. There's a Saturday analysis. There's a Sunday analysis. So we have 3+ hours just from the weekend, courtesy of our friends at the Pick Six podcast, led by our favorite member of the pod, our friend Will Brinson, who joins us Mondays here on San Diego Sports 760. Good afternoon, Will.
What's up, Darren? How are you doing, buddy? Disappointing football, I guess. The games weren't as good as maybe we thought they could have been.
True, especially coming off super-duper wild-card weekend where it felt like the games were better.
Yeah, it felt like the matchups were so stout on Saturday and Sunday. And then, you know, you get the Mahomes scare. Josh Allen never really showed up. But, you know, it was interesting because the spreads were, it felt like the matchups were going to lead to, like, four incredible games. I do think we've gotten two really good championship games set up for this coming weekend. But, the Mahomes ankle injury is going to be the prevailing story and what that does to the spread. And then, of course, Brock Purdy going up against, the Eagles is no easy task at all. It's just a fifth rookie quarterback to start a championship game in NFL history.
You know, there's a bunch of things you could focus on as somebody who's broadcasting in the city without any of these teams involved. I think the thing, I'm with you, and hindsight, of course, is 2020. I was kicking myself for thinking the Giants could cover in that game. Get to it in a second. But of the things that I would say, wow, I really wasn't expecting, it would be just the ease, seemingly ease, with which Cincinnati went into Buffalo and won that game, Will.
Yeah, I think that would be the biggest story too. It's like how the Bengals, the Bills didn't show up for a home divisional round game. Like they were not prepared to fit. Like I don't want to say they weren't prepared. They were just overmatched by the Bengals' offensive line and defensive line. The Bills, the Bengals ran the ball, passed the ball. I mean, they just moved the ball all over with ease, like without a care in the world. They get this lead and then. I talked about this with Jason Lockenfour on the podcast today, but like Lou Anarumo, the Bengals defensive coordinator, has really not gotten any like love for possible head coaching jobs. But man, you talk about a guy who is one. I mean, like has done a good job with the defense as a whole, year in and year out. It's got to be a really steady unit, an underrated unit for the Bengals. But also, like look at what he's done in the playoffs. I mean, shutting down Josh Allen, shutting down Patrick Mahomes on occasions, and now gets to go. To do it last year in a championship game. This is a Bengals defense that has, I think people look at this Bengals team and they're like, well, it's like, it's a fluke again, a second year in a row. It's a fluke. It's like, no, the offensive line can be problematic at times, but sometimes they step up and play well, even with the injuries which they did yesterday. And Joe Burrow is an ice cold assassin. And then you got this defense that is just, had some really huge games against really good big names in the playoffs. So I think the Bengals team is just very much legit.
I'm with you on that. And of course, being a responsible talk show like we are, it was brought up several times last week, Will, that the Bengals were going to be without starters on the offensive line. And it wasn't just capable. It was dominant. I'm playing opposite Mixon, so I had to pay the price on this one. But I saw Joe Mixon ran
his tail off.
Yes, they dominated really it, and Burrow wasn't touched at all. Like that to me, I thought if there was one thing that might balance it out a little bit, in addition to everything else of having to play in Buffalo, and they're a very good team, blah, blah, blah. But of all of it, I couldn't understand how really at the point of attack Cincinnati was so dominant in this game.
I mean, I'll tell you what, I think that when you look, I'm not afraid to pat myself on the back on occasion. I'll pat Dak Taylor on the back too, because I said, and I'm sure I said on this, maybe it's Monday, so I assume I said it. I can't guarantee I said it, but I said it all last week. It was like, look, with Jonah Williams and Jonah Williams out, Bengals losing three guys in the offensive line, we're going to find out a lot about Zach Taylor and this Bengals coaching staff come Sunday, because if they are smart, what they will do is they will. There's two ways you can counter our offensive line's hurt, right? One is to say we're going to pound the football on these guys, and the other, the smart way that I kept saying that they need to do, which I thought they started to do in the regular season game against Buffalo before it was canceled, is come out and have Joe Burrow throw quick and throw early and throw often, and that's what they did. They got the ball. Get the ball in Joe Burrow's hands. Let him get it out quickly. You know, let these receivers who are dominant, and they were running wide open. It was crazy how open they were early on and how quickly Mixon got them the ball. I think Tony Romo called it it's a Peyton Manning offense, right? Where it's kind of simple. You run the same plays. You just trust your guys to beat their guys. Hmm. And with the snow, I certainly don't think that helped the Buffalo, defenders, but I mean, they got the ball out quickly, scored twice, get this lead. And once that happened, you know, It really prevented Buffalo from doing anything other than, like, what we'd seen from Buffalo the last couple of weeks was they like to be really aggressive. Josh Allen was really pressing and being really aggressive and pushing the ball downfield more, and they tried to do that, and they just didn't execute on it. And once that happened, it was, you know, it's like, you know, they're playing this umbrella coverages, and, I mean, Cincinnati was just the much, much better team on Sunday.
Yeah, we talked about it last week about, you know, nobody gets the ball out quicker than Joe Burrow. I just didn't expect him to be 172 rushing yards. They just pushed Buffalo around. Is there anything big picture you would say about Buffalo? They're without Von Miller, obviously. Damar Hamlin, they lost a couple of defensive backs here who crashed into one another late in the game. But I think by that point, the game was mostly done. Is there anything about Buffalo? Where are you going with Buffalo? No Brian Daboll, obviously doing his thing with the Giants right now. Is there anything that you want to say, even just a couple of hours after the fact, about Buffalo and Buffalo's future?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are kind of maybe jumping the gun a little bit on the Bills. Like, I mean, like, you hear the people like, the Bills are frauds, like, Josh Allen can't win. You know, it's like, all right, let's settle down a little bit. I mean, look, the Bengals, I think when you look at the AFC, I wouldn't push the panic button on Buffalo. I mean, maybe some people will, and that's fine. I mean, you know, that's their prerogative. I think Buffalo, as long as they have Josh Allen, they're still going to be really good, right? I mean, they're going to be a team they're clearly the best team in the AFC East and, will be for a while, even if, you know, you've got some, you know, free agent issues that you got to deal with. Losing Trey White and Jordan Poyer to, head injuries late. I mean, that didn't change the outcome of the game, I don't think. But, you know, they have a, They need to figure out how to run the football, and they need to figure out how to get some more pass rush. I mean, that's just been their problem for the last, you know, 2 years. And the reality is, you know, in the NFL, you know, it's like, you know, people, I mean, Chargers fans, and I was like, it's like Rivers, you know, you have this great quarterback, never win a Super Bowl. It's hard to win a Super Bowl. You know, you look at most of these superstar quarterbacks, you know, Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Drew Brees retired with a single one. Brett Favre retired with a single one. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to retire with a single one. I mean, Tom Brady is the exception to the rule in a big, big way. Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger are exceptions to the rule in terms of winning more than one Super Bowl. And I think that Brady specifically has created this sort of it's made it difficult to sort of parse out success and like, it's like, well, you don't have six Super Bowls, you know, like, well, yeah, we thought in the AFC in particular, you know, it's a single game elimination tournament, and you're going to run up against somebody like Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes or Trevor Lawrence or Josh Allen, you know, or Justin Herbert, Josh Allen. Like, these quarterbacks are so good in the AFC right now that if anyone came away, I mean, Mahomes only has one Super Bowl. It's just going to be hard to win a lot of Super Bowls with the way the AFC is stacked right now, much less get your first one if you're Josh Allen.
Sounds like what you're saying is the window isn't closed on the Buffalo Bills.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm just making sure. But, you know, I don't think it's just – because, hey, listen, you lose to Joe Burrow. I don't think there's any real great shame in that, even if it happens at home in a snowstorm.
Boston game in January.
Right, but it's also coming off a pretty unimpressive win against Miami last week that had some people questioning what Buffalo was all about. So that's all. I think it's just a combination of what we've seen thus far during the postseason for Buffalo that has people asking that question.
Well, I think it's fair to look at the last 2 weeks for the Bills in the postseason and say, well, all right, you know, the offense works a lot better when Josh Allen isn't playing YOLO ball, you know? And, I mean, that's what we sort of saw, you know, in both games where it's like, you know, you could tell, like, once the once it was like a 17-point lead, it was like, Josh Allen's going to commit a turnover here, like, any minute. It's going to be a fumble, and then he almost fumbled. They ruled an incomplete pass on the replay. It was like, or he's going to throw an interception, and then shortly thereafter, he threw a pick. It was just, you know, I think they were just pressing. And we may even ask that, like, going back as far as, like, week 17 or so, where it's like, or maybe, I guess, not week 17, so they didn't play, but maybe it was week 18. It just felt like the Bills were pressing a little bit, Josh Allen specifically, almost like, yeah, look, it's the window's not closing for them, but, you know, these opportunities to have a top team, you know, to be one of the top two teams in the AFC, you know, they're not guaranteed to be there every year. So, and Bills fans especially, I think, know it, you know, given how badly the Patriots have beat them up for years and years. So I do think there probably was a little bit of pressing, and you wonder if Brian Daboll instead of Ken Dorsey had been there, maybe if they would have been able to, you know, rein in out a little bit, maybe get less turnovers. But I don't think Josh Allen lost in the game on Sunday.
Brighter 2023 regular season, Jacksonville or Buffalo?
Oh, that's a good one. A brighter regular season?
Yeah.
I will still pick Buffalo, but I think that Jacksonville will be more, we'll have a bigger air of optimism to the franchise because of what we had happened this year and how they played and how Trevor Lawrence looked at times and how, you know, how much better they were than the previous year versus Buffalo, where it'll be like, all right, you know, I mean, it's going to be hard for Buffalo to top the optimism they had coming into this season, right? Where you go out and get Von Miller, you know, you're the prohibitive Super Bowl favorites, et cetera, et cetera. So I think probably Buffalo, but both will be optimistic. Or probably, yeah, Jacksonville, but both will be optimistic.
Calvin Ridley next year, too. Some draft picks. Oh, yeah. Pretty good team, yeah. Speaking of 27-20, epic cover. I think you and I were texting about that. What an epic cover that was for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get to the game in a second, boy, but that is one for the ages, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's one, too, where you kind of got to remember that when you're making these bets with these bigger spreads. I had the Chiefs. The easiest bet of the weekend was the Chiefs-Eagles teaser. And that was just never in doubt. Well, the Jacksonville kept it frisky, I guess, when Mahomes was banged up. But, you know, you got to remember that, especially with these, you know, get all these modern, more analytical coaches who are going to kick that field goal. If we saw the Bills not do it, they went for the touchdown late, but, you know, 17, maybe a little different, I would have kicked there. But, you know, you just have to bake that in where it's like, look, if it's a 9-point favorite and you're up 10, you might be covering, but that coach is probably going to kick that field goal before they try and go for it on fourth down if you get in that spot because, you know, just where they're on the field, how much time's left, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, tough scene for those of us who had KC minus 9, although when Mahomes got hurt, I grabbed some Jacksonville plus 10.5, so not too bad.
Okay, good. I was fine with that. It takes a little bit away from, you know, and I know that the conversation rightfully should be on Patrick Mahomes and his ankle, although I wonder about number 49 for Jacksonville. Not only was he the one that landed on Mahomes' ankle, but he also got a personal foul penalty against Chad Henne a little bit later. Just saying, seems like a little bit of a coincidence, maybe not. But Jacksonville, Will, had real opportunities to win this game. Agnew fumbles on the 5-yard line. Christian Kirk drops a ball that drops right into his hands. That could have been there. Now, I suspect Kansas City pulls it out somehow, some way, but Kansas City was not just, you know, spunky upstart there playing to cover the spread. Like there were real opportunities for them to win that game.
Oh, yeah. Jacksonville could have won that game. I mean, no doubt about it. And I think that, you know, you look at the Jaguars and you just look, they had that huge home win over the Chargers, the big comeback victory. I mean, that makes it kind of tough. You know, I think going into KC, they were probably, you know, a little bit starstruck. It's a tough place to play. But I mean, you know, the effort from the Jaguars, I mean, this is a really good team with some really good players. You know, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a star. Travis Etienne is fantastic. Christian Kirk has stepped up in a big way this year as a free agent, more than I think most people thought he would. But I mean, this is not a team, like, this is a legitimate team that they're building there in Jacksonville. And I don't think, it's not like the 2017 season where they make that run and then, you know, you're wondering, like, you know, you think it's, you know, replicable. That was basically, you know, defense based and, you know, a random season for Blake Bortles. I think this season with Trevor Lawrence and what they're building is something that they can replicate down the road.
Ever, did you take a second look at the number 49 from Jacksonville landing on Mahomes? I know, violent game. I get it. Sort of, I don't know, looked a little guided.
I wouldn't want to judge the intention of another man.
I got it.
But yes, I think that you could say that it was a maybe could have been a little bit cleaner. A lot of snow out there too, though.
Yeah, you get the benefit of the doubt right up until the same guy had a personal foul penalty for hitting Chad Henne high. Now, I don't know. Maybe that was a little squirrely too. Maybe that shouldn't have been called. But when it's the same guy, two different quarterbacks, it makes me at least a little suspicious.
Yeah, it's fair to wonder if it was just the individual player, if it was the. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes can't you say, listen, if you want to push the envelope, push the envelope, you know?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, it's a playoff game. You gotta do what you gotta do. What did you notice, Patrick Mahomes, when he comes out of the locker room there? Didn't run. I think he ran one time, sort of hobbled his way to a first down. What differences did you notice just watching that game?
I mean, one of the dudes is an athletic freak to be able to come out there and still play. And Tony Romo noted on Sunday too. He said he had a high ankle sprain. He finished the game where he got it. You know, kept playing, but then later in the week it was harder to play. Mahomes has been insistent he's going to play through Sunday and then today, I believe. And I would expect that he does play. But you talk about like the biggest difference maker for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the playoffs is in the postseason. They posted five straight AFC Championship games, which is just insane. They've been to five straight, excuse me. Maybe they posted five straight, I can't remember. But, the difference is in these playoff games is people get the Chiefs in these third down spots where it's like, all right, you're going to stop here on third and eight, and you can really start to, put up, try and score and run the ball on this team. And then all of a sudden Mahomes uses his legs to extend a play and make a throw, or uses his legs to run and pick up the first down. It's just a backbreaking. He does it over and over again. And so that, to me, Darren, is the biggest difference for the Chiefs is that now they aren't going to have Patrick Mahomes necessarily capable of doing that on these big third downs because of the ankle injury.
What is your gut telling you? AFC Championship game, Cincinnati, Kansas City.
Bengals, outright.
Outright, okay. Yeah, that's my initial impression here on a Monday as well. And they have the confidence, been there, done that. They know how to go into that building and win. I almost Kansas City would have been better playing off at a neutral site against Buffalo, but that's just me.
I think so, too. I just think the Bengals kind of have their number defensively and offensively, and Joe Burrow just doesn't flinch in these games, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. The guy is a stone-cold killer.
Kansas City's defensive line a little bit better. I think they'll get a little bit more pressure on Burrow, but still, I'm with you on that one. All right, NFC. Nick Sirianni, man. I don't know that I would pick Nick Sirianni if he walked into the studio. I don't know if I'd know who he was, but he feels like the best coach in the league that I couldn't identify. This game, in hindsight, will, I guess, and all games through hindsight are easier. But, man, I was a little worried about Jalen Hurts. Didn't really know what to expect with the shoulder, so I thought maybe it could be a little bit closer. But my goodness, I mean, talk about a perfect scenario for Philadelphia just to go run away and hide in this one. That's exactly what they got.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of on an island, I think, and saying that I thought Philly was going to win by double digits. And there's no guarantee that you didn't hear a lot of that. It was, and I think the reason why is that I've been comparing the Giants to the 2017 Buffalo Bills for like the last couple of months, right? This team that played above its head, got deeper went to the playoffs in some really surprising fashion, thanks to coaching, thanks to player improvement, and even though you knew the Bills were going to lose in that first round of the playoffs back then, at the same time you knew that you're like they're still in a good spot because they got Sean McDermott, they got Brandon Bean, they're building something there, and then they went out and drafted Josh Allen, of course. Well. They drafted Josh Allen. Tyrod Taylor was their quarterback for that season. And this seemed a little different in the sense that you had Danny Dimes there. He's playing well. They're probably going to keep him around now. Hmm. But they got to the playoffs, and they also got the Minnesota Vikings, right? And the Vikings were sort of 2017 Bills-ish as well. When the Giants beat the Vikings, everybody's like, oh, all right, maybe this team isn't sort of there's just a huge step up in competition.
Sure.
And the Eagles were rested. The Eagles had time to prepare. They'd seen them twice already. And even, Brian Daboll being a great coach, Nick Sirianni also a great coach. And there's so many pieces on that on that Philadelphia team. They're just deep and it's a great roster and they have a legitimate quarterback. And I think, it's just a little too much for the Giants to handle there.
If you're the Giants coach, do you think you wake up today like, yeah, you know what? Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, this guy's pretty good. I can work with this. Or do you think, listen, hey, everybody, if I can get to this point with Daniel Jones, imagine what I could do with a better quarterback. I mean, what would be going through your head if you're Brian Daboll today?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky because the ownership there loves Daniel Jones, right? They love him. And, you know, I don't think that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane came into the meeting when they were the interview and said, we can fix Daniel Jones. I think they said, you know, we'll coach him through his contract, but, you know, we're not going to, I'm not going to sit here and guarantee you I can fix him. I mean, they fixed him. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to ask that. I also think it's fair to say, all right, look, you know, we have a pretty high draft. We don't have a high draft pick this year. You know, we have a quarterback who we can give that sort of, you know, you can give like the Derek Carr type contract where you're not committing in a way that locks you into something. You know, give him $30 million a year, 35, you know, whatever it is, and it's a lot, but you know, essentially it'll be like a series of 1 year deals that you can get out of if you want to, or you know, a 2 year contract with a team option for the third year. It won't be portrayed as that when they sign it, but I think that's the sort of thing where you can do that. If Daniel Jones continues to improve for you, great. If not, it also gives you the opportunity to go out and draft somebody or find somebody else. While, and remember, this is, you know, it's Daniel Jones is regarded as the previous regime's quarterback who just happens to, you know, play well for Brian Daboll. So, you know, Brian Daboll hadn't even, you know, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane don't even have to start their clock on their own quarterback that they brought in while they still got Daniel Jones in the building. I think that's kind of important too. So, like, if you can keep winning with him, well, still, it just gives you so much time to find your guy. In a way, you know, we saw the Bills do it. If they love a guy, they could trade up for sure. You know, they traded up and went and got Josh Allen, of course, the second year that Brandon Bean was there. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. I just think that they will be okay biding their time and being a little patient with Daniel Jones while they sort of build this roster up and then look to drop a quarterback in.
Thank you for tweeting out video, the final play between Dallas and San Francisco. I cannot tell you how many times I watched that, searching for something else that would make me hysterical laugh sitting there by myself. I mean, of all the things, I don't know how many times you watched it because you're a busy guy, probably had to get on and record the podcast last night. But I still am trying to figure out what it was that Dallas was going for there on the final play of that game.
It's just a tremendously hilarious, like, pile of stupidity. And what's weird about it is, like, you know, they weren't going to win the game. You know, I saw somebody, I think this is maybe a good comparison. It's like you are, you're playing a golf tournament, right? And you have to hole out from 275 yards. You know, with to force a playoff or something like that, and you get a lineup with your 3-wood, wait for the green to clear. You know, time is to wait 5 minutes for green to clear, and then you just like pop the ball 4 feet. You know, so like that's what it was. And because like again, they weren't going to win the game, but you know, Mike McCarthy was that horrible quarterback draw last year to end the season. Embarrassing play that people kept bringing up over and over again. And he's got a full year to like design something, you know, that he wants to use at the end of a game. Hopefully, you know, it is mine. Hopefully not, you know, where you're trailing against San Francisco in the same spot as the year before. And he's got this lateral play that just gets like everybody just de-cleated. Zeke Elliott snaps the ball and then you throw it to Kayvon Turpin and he just doesn't even get like one move. And I mean, again, they weren't going to score there. It's just so perfectly summed up like what you expect from Mike McCarthy late in games.
Yes, exactly. To your point, I mean, to understand this is to go back and relive the final play in the playoff game last year between San Francisco and Dallas in Dallas, where they couldn't get the ball snapped because Dak goes running up the middle, and then the referee got into the way. I mean, it was chaos. Well, and then this year they outdid themselves.
Yeah, and then it sort of undermines the two plays before that, where it's like one, Dalton Schultz is catches the ball and it's like casually goes out of bounds.
Right.
I think it's Javis Ward, but he comes up and hits him and then starts pointing at the ref. Like the San Francisco defender knew the rule, and the Dallas offensive player did not know the rule. Where it's like you need to be going forward, or else the clock keeps running. And so the ref saw it, and like that is coaching, man. That is coaching. Like the 49ers player, defensive player, saw him catch the ball, and like went and hit him, even though Dalton Schultz was like jogging out of bounds, and pointed to the ref. And the ref was like, yeah, that's right. And Schultz didn't know the rule, or he just didn't, you know, he didn't practice. Like, that's something where if, you know, that it's just coaching. And then the very next play, Schultz, you know, catches the ball super casually. It's just, that's the difference. But the details matter. And I'm not saying that they would have, you know, if there's, you know, If Schultz catches the ball and if Schultz, you know, gets out of bounds without clock stopping, they're not running that idiot play from 70 yards away. They're giving themselves a look at a Hail Mary. It's, you know, there's just, you just, I just feel like it's always in the details with Dallas and, you know, but Mike McCarthy, apparently his job is perfectly safe.
Yeah, Greg Olson knew I mean, good on him. Greg Olson knew it right there in real time. What's your gut telling you on the NFC Championship game?
My heart says San Francisco. My head says Philly. So I've got futures. I got Super Bowl tickets on three of the four final teams. Only thing, if it's Cincinnati beats the Chiefs, I got both teams in the Super Bowl with a future. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, okay, so you can't lose.
Yeah, I got Eagles at 38-1 from the draft, which is a pretty good one. And then what do I have? San Francisco, Cincinnati at 18-1, and San Fran at 15-1, I think. Chiefs never got above like 11-1 all season long. I'm not going to take that. So, I wanted to be San Fran Cincinnati because I picked that before the playoffs. But I sort of think it's going to be Cincinnati and Philly, which will be it's a really interesting matchup. Philly's got a good pass rush and a good offensive line. Like I think they could be a shootout of sorts.
I love it. Will, we appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Hey, down there. See you, man.
Thank you. Pick Six Podcast. Shootout. Could be a shootout. I wouldn't agree with that. You're going to get some good play callers, you know, no matter what happens here. Kyle Shanahan, Nick Sirianni. Again, Nick Sirianni could walk into the iHeart studios, and I'm not sure I would be able to pick him out. Andy Reid on the other side. Kyle Shanahan's there. Zach Taylor's there. He's pretty good. You're going to get some, three of the four from last year. San Francisco was in the championship game, obviously different roster. Cincinnati, Kansas City, they were in the championship game. But you're going to get some pretty good play callers no matter what happens there for the Super Bowl when it's in Phoenix. Yeah, he sort of looks like Cliff Kingsbury from afar. I don't have my glasses on.
Okay, I was thinking he looks kind of like Alex Smith.
Okay.
But with more facial hair.
Well, not sure. But again, I don't think I'm alone in this. I'm not sure about Nick Sirianni. J-Riff, I mean, if you were to describe him in a police sketch right now, could you do it?
Tall white man with a beard and hair? Probably not.
Okay. I mean, would you know it even what kind of hair he has? He's always wearing a hat.
Sort of curly. The reason I know what he looks like is because he made an appearance in the Wrexham series because of Rob McElhoney's connection to Philadelphia.
All right. Interesting. Coming up, Martha, what's going on in the NFL? Plus your text messages, 70470. First word of the text team. Marty Gorsuch is the CEO of the Farmers Insurance Open. He's going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. Hope he's going to join us from Torrey Pines so he can tell us what it looks like. Standing out there maybe on the 18th green, maybe out there on the first tee, just no better views. Pretty good field heading into town this week. As long as you get Xander Schauffele, John Rahm. Pretty good players heading to San Diego. This tournament starts on Wednesday, so we'll talk with Marty Gorsuch about that. J. Riff, thanks Pfizer is trending. Do you want to take a run at that one? Would you like to explain that one?
It's very, very funny.
Why is this trending?
It's people are getting very, very creative, and they're just showing like videos of, fake videos of how the first shot of the vaccine has changed them.
Mm-hmm.
Like it might be like someone dancing or doing something goofy. It's very, very, it's very creative. A lot of creative people have taken hold of that hashtag.
Okay.
No, you don't see it.
Wait, why was this pointed at me though?
I thought the point of why is this trending was for you to explain why certain things are trending.
Well, I was only made aware of this just now. So.
Is that top? Is that number one?
It's like number 11 for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is not number one.
My top is M&M's.
M&M's?
Yeah, something has to do with Tucker Carlson.
No, this is for you. Still, that's trending? That was the
last. Oh, it's
because
Maya Rudolph made a bit out of it.
I have Weston McKennie trending as my number one. Leo Messi's number three. Greg Berhalter, number five.
Now, why is that? I saw you tweet about something with him over the weekend.
So. Yeah, because Gio Reyna scored in his first.
Oh, okay.
Game back, and I think might have taken a little subtle shot at Greg Berhalter in his celebration. So when the USA lost to Netherlands, Greg Berhalter said after the game, he was asked about the difference in the squads and said, "Well, we don't have a Memphis Depay on our team. Memphis is a player who plays for the Netherlands, and Memphis has a very specific celebration after he scores goals. He takes his index fingers and he puts them in his ears for some reason. And when Gio Reyna scored, and he scored a game winner for Borussia Dortmund this past weekend, and it was an incredible goal, he did that a similar celebration. Now, at first glance, I thought what he was saying is, I'm just not listening to the noise and I'm just focusing on playing. I'm just not hearing things. I don't want to hear things. I don't want to hear anymore. This is the first time he's been on a field in a competitive game since the World Cup, where he barely played. And we know some of the subsequent storylines that followed, even if you don't follow it, became quite a soap opera, a little bit of a drama. But then somebody pointed out this might have been a, oh, yeah, well, we didn't have anybody who could score like that because of you and your stupid decisions, Greg. So that's the way I'm choosing to interpret
okay.
it. Yes.
Yeah.
But still no decision on Greg Berhalter. I saw Brian McBride is leaving the U.S. men's national team. I don't know that that's a terrible thing.
So the longer it goes on, do you think it increases his chances of staying?
Still involved in the investigation, Marty. That's the official word from the U.S.
From 30 years ago, like how?
No, they're investigating the whole thing from the last couple of weeks. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay, got it.
And that is part of it. I'm sorry. I realized it was 3 decades ago. It's still a gross thing to do. And I think would have been factored in had it been presented at the time of his potential candidacy. But then again, the U.S. Soccer Federation really had its sights set on Greg Berhalter the whole time anyway. So, I don't know. I think they chose to see and hear what it was that they wanted to hear. But that's number 5 for me.
Really?
Yeah, that's number 5. But, everybody's timeline is different. This isn't actual trending topics. This is just me for you.
No, I want you to go see. For me, I'm showing M&M's is number 1.
M&M's number 1. Klingons is number 2. Why is that trending?
I don't
have know. Have we politicized Klingons somehow? Harry Kane, number 4. I just saw that he scored for Tottenham against Fulham. So I'm guessing that's why he's trending.
Okay.
Thanks, Pfizer, number 13.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Martha, what's going on the NFL?
Let's go! For a full Sunday, there's just one question.
Martha, what's going on?
In the NFL, brought to you by Hamul Casino. With 7 restaurants, thousands of slots, thrilling table games, and a sports pub voted San Diego's best, it's no wonder Hamul Casino is always a fan favorite. Hamul Casino, close, friendly, fun.
Okay, a little bit lighter on notes today, so we'll use this to go ahead and address some of the coaching changes and the injuries of the team still remaining in the playoffs. But we'll start with the Cowboys. Adding injury to insult, that would be that Tony Pollard broke his leg. And that seemed to kind of change the direction of that game when the injury happened. Now we knew that Jerry Jones was there in pregame with Maher trying to motivate him, inspire him, comfort him, threaten him. I don't know. I'm still waiting for the audio recordings to be released when that comes out. But this is what Jerry had to say in postgame about the loss.
Back to your thoughts on Coach Mike McCarthy. Does a result like this change anything in your mind with him?
No, not at all. And their decision for our kicker was exonerated with his field goal in my mind, and I'm proud for him. But this is very sickening to not win tonight.
So Maher, exonerated. That's my takeaway. I'm not sure if you got a chance to watch this clip. I did. I actually saw our friend Michael Gelkin in the background doing his thing. But, man, Jerry Jones just looked. We've seen him after losses. He looked just devastated.
He's 80 years old.
He is 80 years old. And maybe at the point, I know what he said about Mike McCarthy. And I know he said after last week, after they beat, who did they beat last week? Brain cramp right here. But remember, like, he's like, no, that's our guy. And he just solidified. He is our
Big
coach.
Tapa.
Yeah, that's right. I just wonder if you're 80 years old, like how many of these head coaching changes do you want to have at this point? Like, you find your guy, you stick with it, find some stability rather than just this chase every couple of years. But man, rough one for the Cowboys.
Yeah, it was rough, and their quarterback didn't play well.
No, he did not.
And they had a short week and had to travel across the country to play San Francisco, which isn't easy. And you mentioned they lose Tony Pollard early, so there's a lot of things. And we can all focus and laugh at the final play of the game, which
right.
I think is fine. I think it's fine to do that because it was hilarious. But, there's a lot of things that were working against them.
There were. But this will be interesting to ask DJ tomorrow when he joins the show. But they had 45 seconds left on the clock on that final drive? I wonder how many different plays teams have rehearsed. Less than a minute, like the 2-minute offense. But this is what we're going to do. Final drive. It's one score. Was this the top of their list?
Did they practice that?
That's what I want.
Poor Zeke Elliott. It gets whiplash if you watch it because his head gets whipped back as soon as he gets hit at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
It just was wild.
Yeah.
All right. They call a timeout, too. The offensive linemen are never running anywhere. I get it. They couldn't go because they would have been ineligible downfield. But still, like, everybody was really into it. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know, man. Just take your chances. Throw the ball deep.
All right, other injuries. Kyle Shanahan says that Christian McCaffrey is day-to-day with a calf contusion, although, of course, he's expected to play on Sunday. Also says Elijah Mitchell, who has a groin strain, is day-to-day. Does not imagine that Jimmy G will be available to play on Sunday.
What if he's available in the Super Bowl?
Don't you have to?
And Purdy's terrible at halftime.
Like, turnover prone, he's just has the jitters, he's rattled, multiple picks. You go to Jimmy G, right? Right? Because nothing fazes him. And if he throws a pick, he'll look good doing it. I don't know.
Your helmet off,
Jimmy. Just make them all forget, right?
Let us
just
see that
just
handsome
go
face.
Ahead and smile and just kind of throw them all off. Let's see what are the injuries.
Your great hair.
Okay, let's see. Zach Taylor says that you're always looking for motivation. And after 20 weeks, he's going to search every single inch of the internet looking for it. So Zach Taylor, head coach, admitting, of course they search the internet, newspapers, looking for motivational factors. Now, they were, of course, as you know, down three starters in the defensive line. He says that Jonah Williams, left tackle, and guard Alex Kappa are improving, and possibly have a chance to play this Sunday versus the Chiefs. That's good news for the Chiefs. Andy Reid says he does not know yet if Mahomes will play on Sunday or if they need to go with Chad Henne. I know Patrick Mahomes is, of course, very optimistic that he will be good to go. It would shock all of us if Mahomes, high ankle sprain and all, does not figure a way out there. If he can complete it, how effective he will be, if he can plant, that's a completely different story. All right, on to the head coaching searches. Sean Payton is having his second interview with the Broncos, I believe, on Thursday. He completed his interview with the Panthers. Brian Flores is interviewing for the Cardinals head coaching job.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Can Sean Payton just return to the...
Yes. TV?
No.
Oh.
To the Saints, if he wants?
Yeah.
Can you just say, hey, listen, I've decided this is where I want to coach. Yeah, Dennis Allen, thank you.
Right. Except, I mean, that'd be kind of strange because Mickey Loomis already said that, announced that Dennis Allen was going to be their guy moving forward. And I don't know, you do something like that. I would
so
imagine they're friends.
Payton goes, I'd like to go back to New Orleans. They say no. But they're going to hold him for a draft, man.
Yeah.
For some compensation.
Possibly, yeah, more than that. I think, yes, he can go back, but perhaps he just wants a new change of scenery. And who's your quarterback? Who's
just
your quarterback?
If he could. What if he goes,
yeah,
you know,
I would say yes.
Greener. I like it.
Yeah.
I can convince Tom Brady to come here.
Right.
Or Derek Carr.
I have a quarterback. We have a partnership. I have a guy right here. Yeah, absolutely. But I'd be shocked if that happened. But yes, could he do that? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, other coordinators. Rams has spoken with Mike LaFleur, the former Jets OC, about their job. Chargers are interviewing Rams senior assistant Greg Olson and their quarterback coach, passing game coordinator Zach Robinson, for their open OC job. You spent some time with Will Brinson on this, but Giants GM Joe Shane says they feel that Daniel Jones has played well, and they would like to have him back.
Oh.
Now, I need to go back and listen to this presser. It's what I do. But what I didn't hear from Joe Shane was saying, you know what, Daniel Jones is the right guy. We have full confidence. He is the guy. He has taken a huge step. He's played well. They would like to have him back. By the way, the franchise tag deadline is March 7th, and for quarterbacks, projected at $31 million. It'd be hard. I can't imagine they're going to go ahead and tag Daniel Jones. I'd imagine you can find a reasonable deal. Perhaps you use it on Saquon Barkley. I don't know what's going to happen. All right, let's see. This is interesting. Apparently, Nick Sirianni, he inspired his team yesterday by playing the rap battle from 8 Mile. And I guess the players...
I like it.
They loved it. They loved it, yes. So very, very inspirational.
So actually showed the movie, or he got up there and
performed
as Eminem?
I don't think he performed the rap. If he did,
that'd be great.
Then he is officially the greatest coach possibly ever.
Yeah, I'd pay to see that.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. So now how do you one up that? Maybe you have to invite Eminem to your game, right? Let him perform. Let him inspire your team.
8 Mile.
Are those all my notes? I think so. We can hear from Joe Burrow later on if we have time. Or do we have
Thank
time
you
here?
To Matt Anderson. The kid from Elf grew up to be Eagles coach Nick Sirianni.
The kid's from Elf?
Looks the same, right?
Oh,
pretty similar.
Man.
Send me one of these memes. It's floating around the internet.
Okay, I like it.
He's good. Very good.
Sirianni.
Very good. Lot to like in Philadelphia. Lot to like. Young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Move the ball. Play some pretty good D. They're pretty good. They're a pretty good team. All right, coming up, text 70470. First word of the text, team, TEAM. Those are coming up next.
Coming up tomorrow on Big Rich, TD, and Fletch, we got to figure out what we're grilling for the NFL championship games on a Next Level Fat Guy Stuff Tuesday, and how much did Lamar Jackson turn down to play for the Ravens? We start breaking things down at 6 o'clock, San Diego Sports 760.
Marty Gorsuch, CEO, Farmers Insurance Open, top of the hour. Let's jump into some text.
It's time to hear from you.
I had a lot of texts today and a lot of different things.
Your thoughts.
619, Jack Cronin for Speaker of the House. I'm with you on that.
Feelings.
619, the new 2023 got Darren questioning how to spell teen. T-E-A-F.
And questions.
619, what's the shortest you ever had a job? I lasted one day. I worked for a hospital.
Text us at 70470.
All right, first text of the day is on the subject of San Diego State University. Another good win for SDSU on Saturday, writes in an 858 number. Going 3-0 against Colorado State, Wyoming, Air Force on the road. Definitely a good start to league play. Definitely a good start. Very bunched up now. San Diego State back on top of the Mountain West Conference standing 6-1. New Mexico took down Boise State Friday night. We mentioned that game. That game was at the Pit. It was a good game, decided by a bucket. New Mexico, Utah State, Boise State, Nevada. Top five in the Mountain West. Feels like it's going to be a slugfest. I give New Mexico credit. New Mexico's beaten San Diego State at San Diego State, and they beat Boise State, something that had only been done once in conference play. So good to see the Aztecs back up on top. We have a pair of tickets to give away. San Diego State, Utah State. Feels significant Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Stay tuned. Good records. Joe Lenardi has three Mountain West Conference teams in his field of 68. New Mexico is an 11, San Diego State's an 8-9 game, and Boise State is somewhere in the mix as well.
You're like a first four or something.
First four, something like that, yeah. Three from the Mountain West. We were guessing that. What would Lenardi have it here at the end of January? We thought maybe four? Four with five, maybe a five being first four out, but he has three.
Is this the day, is this around the time of year where you start paying very close attention to that?
Yeah,
closer, like in November. Come on, what are we doing, right?
I'll go to the bracketology page at ESPN.com. I won't get upset about it. I'll just take it for what it's worth.
You won't do an emergency podcast on it?
No.
You won't tweet out the results? But you'll not. Start glancing just to kind of get it. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
I won't take a screenshot or anything like that.
I gotcha.
I'll just say, okay, interesting. 619, I was mad at the Giants for wasting everybody's time and disappointed at the Bills for not being better. We all agree Greg Olsen looks like Dexter Morgan. I just keep thinking he murdered some bad guy right before the game.
Well, the Vikings have been a better opponent.
Yeah.
All right.
609, I'm a big Tony Romo fan, but I really enjoy Greg Olsen. He might be my new favorite.
Until Brady takes over.
609, J-Ref is delusional. Yeah, Tirico's awesome. Collinsworth is worse and the most annoying broadcaster ever. He makes this broadcast worse no matter how good the play-by-play guy is. Many people are saying this.
Which part?
760, I'm ready for the D. Smith Show. Hour-long discussion on the Jags today. Calvin Ridley.
Jags?
Calvin Ridley. Travis Etienne might have made me a little money, maybe.
Hey,
maybe.
Listen, you like to travel internationally. You may have to make your trip through the London game since the Jags are there every year, right?
I'm watching Shad Khan's other team, Fulham, right now, lose to Tottenham in the 74th minute. At least he's got one of those going in the right direction.
Ah, okay.
609, LeBron's always completely full of bleep. Not really surprising. I don't think he is always full of it. I wasn't really sure. He was this past weekend. 619, I wish Charles Barkley would do us the favor of shutting Skip Bayless up for good. 858, was that a frickin' or something else? Did Darren pull a Marty?
I didn't even hear a frickin'. I think you're good.
Well, if you didn't hear the frickin', then...
I didn't hear it.
609, Darren, that fixture between Arsenal and Man U is great. Doesn't Arteta look so frickin' cool on the sidelines? And I'm a Man City fan. He does. And I really like the Arsenal all or nothing on Amazon Prime. Boy, gosh. I'm a fan of his. I am definitely a fan of his. And who had Arsenal top of the table at this point of the season? Who had Arsenal doing those kind of things? 619, I hope the Grizzlies track down every fan that LeBron has complained about from every arena and then invite them to sit courtside and just heckle LeBron. And then when he complains, they'll just go, hey, no, sorry, that's our guy. Shout out to Thousand Oaks. Glad you can hear us loud and clear. 858 number 619. I totally agree with you on LeBron. I don't care about his opinion on anything except basketball related news. Media partly to blame on this. Well, I don't either. I don't want athletes to be robots. Sometimes they have a lot of really interesting things to say, and they're passionate about things, and I think that that's good. I just thought it was a weird approach that LeBron had a couple weeks ago. He's like, I can't believe you guys didn't ask me about Jared Jones. It wouldn't even occur to me to ask him about that, but maybe I'm missing something here. 619, I'd like to invite Martha to the movies. We can see either the new LeBron movie or Waiting for Brady with those hot geriatric MILFs.
Okay, now what's the new... Now I actually like the cast in 80 for Brady. What's the new LeBron movie?
House Party.
Oh! I am far more interested in House Party. I just didn't realize they were actually remaking it or whatever they're doing with it or a sequel.
609, Brinson not criticizing the 49er guy who didn't run out of bounds. Bad coaching. Is that bad coaching too? No, I mean, that was a bad play. Everybody knows it.
Right.
But guess what happens? When you win the game, you sweep those things under the rugs. 619, regarding your take on LeBron earlier. And I didn't set in to have a take on LeBron today. I really wasn't even going to bring that up. I watched the season premiere of Game Theory with Bomani Jones, HBO, last night. Had a segment on LeBron and player empowerment. I hadn't seen the show prior, but I enjoyed the episode, and we'll start watching it weekly. I haven't seen it either, but I was planning on watching it tonight. 858, with the NFL season winding down, will there be a new Marty What's Going On segment? I would like to suggest Marty What's Going On with the Premier League. Darren, back me up. Marty, can you put together a segment? What's going on in the Premier League?
I don't know. I'll try. How about that? I'll send you a rough draft and you can tell me, you can laugh at it.
Yeah, that's really up to Hamul Casino, if that's something that appeals to them. If that appeals to Hamul Casino, then I suppose.
Yeah, I think this is kind of last week for it.
It could be.
Right?
Will Marty be reporting on the USFL during a segment about football, covering pressers? Apparently the Birmingham Stallions are defending a title or something from an 858 number. This is mostly up to Hamul Casino.
It is. I don't know I can give it the justice it truly deserves.
609, anything holding up the Cruz signing? Dennis Lynn today says it should be announced by the end of the week. So I'm going to go with Dennis on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All righty.
Coming up, Marty Gorsuch, CEO of Farmers Insurance Open. Getting set to get underway here in the next couple of days. Marty Gorsuch joins us next.